Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hi. Everyone talks about freedom when they start a business, but very few talk about the fact that you just signed up to be 17 people. You're the head of sales, marketing team, customer service rep, fulfillment specialist, the accountant, the part-time legal department, the in-house therapist, the person responsible for refilling all the printer ink if you even remember to buy one. And if your website breaks, you Google it. A client complains, you handle it. Financial security for you and your entire team is all on you. People say be your own boss, like it's the ultimate flex, like it means working from the beach. But what it actually means is being the one who gets the angry client call and the tax notice and the text from your team member saying, can we hop on a quick Zoom all before 9 a.m.? The first time you start a business, you believe that hiring a few people will make things easier. You'll finally get your time back. You'll finally be able to breathe and enjoy whatever freedom you want in life. But the truth is, more people doesn't solve chaos, it multiplies it. If you don't have the structure, support to delegate, every new person you hire just adds more to your mental load. You're not getting out of the weeds, you're just managing more weeds. I remember a moment, maybe you've had one like this. The day was supposed to be a quiet office day for me to get solo work done, minus a couple midday calls. But before I even sat down to my computer, I got a message from a team member saying she needed to tell me something and can I jump on a quick Zoom? This is someone who had been thriving with us for 3 months and we just turned over handling 80% of our clients. A little while ago, things were going great. She was the account manager for most of our business. Gave me 2 days notice. She'd been offered her dream job and it was a once in a lifetime opportunity. I said, I wish you the best. I immediately pinged my director of ops and project manager who were on a meeting together, and I asked if I can butt in really quick. I jump in. I let them know as we needed to immediately pivot the team, and my project manager was the only one who could handle the client accounts, as the person we had in training was on week 3, and we just identified it wasn't going to work out, and we needed to let her go. This takes me to my project manager, basically the queen on my chessboard out of her superpower, and reinforcements are a minimum of 2 months away. She started to tear up, as she'd been stressed even before that happened and now was on the verge of a panic attack. As I'm about to leave them, they ask if I'd heard from one of the managers who had a history of health issues and had literally been MIA due to being in a coma in the past. I said, nope, let's start the MIA protocol, which means we're counting down the minutes before we reach out to someone in his personal life to make sure he's alive. It's not even 10 a.m. Turned out my manager was fine. His street was flooding and he'd lost all power and cell service as he evacuated to a stable place. My project manager, I also have in that position for a reason because she's an absolute rock star and she took some space, figured out the new game plan. And we recalibrated towards the end of the day, strong, ready to move forward with clarity. But in the middle of all of that, I had an extremely important call with a potential investor, call with a critical vendor, had to give feedback to my team on sensitive issues, all while writing a speech for an event I was hosting in 2 days. Oh, and also had 3 new hires that had started a few days prior, who I needed to give critical attention to in order to get them started strongly, all while hiding the fact that we had 2 weeks of financials where I had no idea if we were going to be able to survive as a company past that point. Every single item required me to be calm, clear, and 100% locked in. But behind the scenes, stomach was a nuts. Mind was racing. I wanted to vomit. And as if that wasn't enough, the man I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with seemed like we were at a permanent impasse, and my dream future that I had believed was unfolding, I had to recalibrate my entire mental and emotional state otherwise. All of that sat in the back of my throat while I smiled through team calls and made the new hires feel welcomed and excited, while I reassured everyone that the vision was intact and the ship was steady. That day might have been slightly above average, but it was all really just a Thursday. And that wasn't even close to the hardest day I've ever had. Running a business is not a job, it's a psychological gauntlet. You are the stabilizing foundation for everyone else, the North Star, the engine, the safety net, therapist, the director, the all-knowing seer. When a team member's having a bad day, they come to you. When a client's upset, you absorb the blame. When revenue's low, you don't sleep. When revenue's high, you still don't sleep because it could all wash away with one wrong move. You have to make decisions faster than anyone, and they have to be the right ones, or everything could be tipped out of balance. You have to deal with people who disappoint you. You have to hold others accountable while staying deeply human. You have to have your vision intact, even when it feels like everything around you is fraying. You have to compartmentalize personal pain, heartbreak, grief, fear, loneliness, because you're not allowed to bring all that to the next meeting. Being a founder means you need to have a heart big enough to hold space for everyone around you and a spine strong enough to endure more than most people can handle even listening to happening to someone else, let alone happening to them. If all this has you nervous, good, but don't worry. There's a way to navigate all of this. At the end of the day, systems solve just about everything. Most people understand conceptually what an operating system is, but don't understand what that means as it applies to business. A business operating system is a practical framework of methods and practices that help you manage your business effectively, align your team, and consistently move towards your business goals. It's not software, but it does include how you use your optimal tech stack. An operating system includes, but is not limited to, your CRM, project management, communication, both style and tech, file repository, team roles and responsibilities, SOPs, core values, internal and external workflow. Essentially, the framework for how to take what's in your head as a founder and align everything and everyone else around you to that vision. There are a lot of business operating systems out there. EOS, Scaling Up, Empire, they all have their strengths and areas where they shine. But the more I looked into each one, I kept feeling like something was missing. No one knows what they're doing when they start. Some still don't know decades into their business, not with operations at least. And everyone seems to have something different that works for them. But the more I sat on it, I thought, surely there had to be some overlap in businesses of all sizes and industries, some type of roadmap that someone could follow to guide them through how to structure a business that ran without the founder being stretched too thin. Something that puts people first, has a positive impact on an individual and societal level, something that was scalable from solopreneur to enterprise and industry agnostic, something not only flexible and fluid, while also providing reliable frameworks, but that was also diagnostic. In my opinion, a good operating system should be able to tell you what is weak or going wrong in your business, why, and what to do about it. Something you could rely on when things weren't clear. When you felt you were the business to be stuck and weren't sure what to do about it, systems that work on your best days and carry you through the worst. When I sat down to really dig into this further, I realized that every business can be broken into five buckets that run the machine of your business: revenue, brand, client success, operations, and leadership. The further I went, the more I realized that absolutely every part of business was somewhere in one of those buckets in terms of actions, frameworks, people, and more. I realized that each of these buckets was actually an engine with five cogs each that drive that engine. Cogs in the revenue engine are all different items that drive revenue. Cogs in the brand engine all wrap up to driving the brand growth and authority. Anything client-facing drives client success engine. Items relating to efficiency and management of all resources all drive operations. The leadership that guides the business at all levels, inside and out, drives the leadership engine. All of these wrap up to run the whole machine of your business. To take a look at this another way, when you first start a business, you wear all the hats. Sure, you can break it down into wearing a lot more hats than five, but all those hats are somewhere in those five engines, and they're all on you when you first start. That means that the first move you need to make is finding someone else to run each of the other five engines, because to run properly, one single person should be in charge of each of those engines for things to run smoothly. It's also important to have a good balance of seats in each engine. When I first created this operating system, we were really hurting on the revenue side. I knew sales and marketing were definitely my weak points, and I had struggled to get the right people in on the front side of the business. But when I broke my business down into this framework, I realized a few things. Leadership engine was strong with me at the helm. I had an amazing project manager handling everything in client success, same one I mentioned earlier. I had a great primary and secondary in charge of the operations engine. Brand engine, I struggled to have an actual leader in that engine, but I had four great people on the fulfillment team. So some of the drivers were strong, even though the engine was, a little questionable. But I realized that not only did I not have an engine lead for revenue engine, but I didn't have a single seat in that engine. Obviously, we were struggling there. Okay, I kind of knew that, but the visualization was still helpful. So now what? I immediately hired two lead generation guys to start making moves in the revenue engine. Steps were clear, more clear thanks to the operating system. So now, before I move on to more tools that help you run a business that doesn't run you, I want to dive a little bit deeper so that I don't lose anyone on the importance and clarity of those five engines. Because every business runs on these, whether they realize it or not. Okay, so let's start with the revenue engine. This is your oxygen. If revenue stops flowing, nothing else matters. You just have a hobby that's not going to take you very far. When I realized we didn't have anyone truly owning our revenue engine, it explained everything. Our offers were solid, our delivery was excellent, but we had zero momentum on the front end. And because of that, I was overcompensating. Still on sales calls, I was the one following up, still the one bridging marketing to enrollment when I should have been building something that ran without me, putting systems in place to get there, even if it took a while. The lead generation team, they brought in a lifeline of new oxygen that I felt like an idiot that I had waited that long to implement. Think about Alex Hormozi. Everyone praises his sales brilliance, but what most miss is that the system behind it, the frameworks, the team, the scripts, the distribution engine. Alex doesn't sell anymore. The machine he built does. Brand engine. Here's the truth. If no one owns your brand, you become invisible. If you're the best in the world at what you do, I love building. I love creating solutions, but I don't love being on 24/7. I'm not naturally a front of camera kind of a person. Hope I'm fooling you today. I drive my team nuts with how much I resist the spotlight. But the problem wasn't that I wasn't showing up publicly, it was that no one else was either. If no one owns your brand engine to drive that outward positioning, no one knows you exist. I see this all the time in companies with incredible results, but no presence, no consistency, no messaging rhythm. Just we post when we remember and let's update some things and maybe that'll drive traffic, but it's kind of nebulous. And therefore, nothing's moving properly. Client success engine. This is the most emotionally loaded engine because this is the one where, for most founders, our identity gets wrapped up in it. You're likely doing client success and something that you love delivering to people. For years, I was the delivery. I was the coach, the strategist, the high-touch guy, the problem solver, everyone's solutions person. And it made sense. I was good at it. I cared. Clients loved working with me. But everyone wanted more of my time than there was in a day, and being the sole engine of transformation meant we couldn't scale. The fears kept coming up. What if someone else didn't care as much as I do? What if clients left because I wasn't the one showing up and they wanted to see me? What if someone dropped the ball, which ultimately is always on me? I had plenty of pushback from my team saying I was too involved in little things, but I needed to feel comfortable that our clients were being serviced properly. But once we put the right frameworks into place, I knew I could trust even new hires to give our clients the best experiences because I trained them on core values. And I gave them room to make mistakes with clear processes and how to fix things. And you know what happened? Clients got better outcome even than I could have gotten them because they weren't waiting on me and I wasn't spread too thin. Operations engine. Here's what most founders get wrong about operations. It's not about tools. It's about flow. ClickUp isn't your ops engine. Airtable isn't your system. An SOP sitting in a Google Drive that no one uses are useless. Operations is what makes your business move without you. I used to think I was pretty operationally strong. I love systems. I can build great processes. But when you have a team of 20 plus, even the smallest oversights get pushed and tested. There's so many corners of operations that all need to work fluidly together, not just within the operations engine, but to support all the other engines with proper systems. I got lucky with a team member who was a genius with ClickUp, who built everything at a mastery level and created all the training for our current and future team so that I never needed to be involved on that side. To this day, I barely use ClickUp, and especially compared to the rest of my team. That let me be in my superpower of leadership. Leadership engine, the fifth and final engine, and the most invisible, but the one that determines whether the other four ever reach their potential. Leadership, it's not a title, it's not charisma, it's not being the loudest person in the room or the one with the best ideas. Leadership is the ability to create clarity and direction, especially when no one else can see it, and to the extent that everyone can feel it. The leadership engine isn't actually about the founder, even if you are the one running the engine, which, especially until you are big enough to hire a CEO underneath you should be. It's about how your leadership trickles down to every crevice of your whole business and team. Every business is a trickle down from the person who runs it. Your leadership style, your vision, how you operate and make decisions. If you are erratic, team becomes anxious. If you are reactive, culture becomes unstable. If you disappear, the team fragments. The heartbeat of the team relies on your emotional steadiness, your ability to have the biggest heart, but never let emotions infiltrate how you make decisions. Consistency with how everything in the business flows to ensure trust is present throughout, and how that level of steadiness is passed down through every single team member, including the bottom of the hierarchy, to influence every person to take personal ownership over their domain. Your core values live in this engine. But one of the things that most people forget or don't realize is that core values are not just nice sounding words that get slapped on a wall or a website. They're the cornerstone of all decisions that are made throughout your whole business. Energies that are to be upheld by every team member at all times. And to those who don't, how you know when it's time to let them go. Our core values to use as an example are the following: uncompromising integrity. We uphold the highest standards of honesty and ethical behavior, delivering on our promises and taking full responsibility for our actions. Radical transparency. This means we're committed to open and clear communication, sharing the full picture, the good, the bad, and the ugly, their clients, team members, and partners to foster trust and collaboration. Purpose-driven passion. This means we bring energy and enthusiasm to everything we do, driven by a deep love for helping others succeed and grow, fostering both personal and professional development. Compassionate humanity. This means we prioritize empathy and compassion, recognizing the human element in every interaction and working to uplift both individuals and the communities we serve. Disruptive innovation. This means we challenge the status quo with bold, creative, and forward-thinking solutions, setting new standards of excellence and continuously striving to do business better. It's through these core values that the team feels supported as whole humans. We run trainings every Wednesday on a wide variety of topics, such as technical training, communication, customer service, health, mindset, and more. I also make it a requirement for every team member to lead at least one of these trainings, to have the experience of leading, as well as to share a piece of their expertise with the rest of the team, as every person on the team has something special to share. Every team member has what I call a superpower, which is the next level, the next operational framework I want to dive into. Another common theme throughout how I think about business, which infiltrates into the five engine operating system I created, is the concept of superpowers and how a business runs best when every person is playing into their superpower the most. I've built an incredible team where they're all rock stars and always offering to jump into supporting other areas. When I was earlier in my business journey, I was like, this is great, so helpful. They can support over here too. But then things weren't moving like I knew they should be, and I knew I had to take a step back and figure out why. I was in a mastermind where someone introduced to me Dan Sullivan's unique ability guide, where he had people break down all activities into four categories. I took that framework and changed the name to Fuel versus Friction Matrix, and the categories to be Thrive, Capable, Draining, and Breakdown. I then wrote out 100 items that all go back to the engines and drivers in each engine and had each person on my team fill out that list. There were a lot of breakdown marks in expected areas that were not a part of their domain, but there were a surprising amount of capable and thrives in areas that I didn't know to associate with certain team members. This allowed me to adjust their role expectations to make sure that they were playing in their superpowers. I created a section on the role description template to be called primary, their superpower. Secondary, things that may not be their superpower, but they are capable of and are still expected of them. Then there's also tertiary, which are items that anything listed there could either be temporary or sporadic, tasks that are not asked very often, or maybe we need them to hold down the fort in a certain area for a short period of time until we make a new hire to replace those actions. That last category gives the team member clarity and comfort that these actions are just temporary, that they will be relieved of these actions soon and can go back to their superpowers, and give notice to leadership that, hey, need to get in motion to get a new hire to replace that team member in these areas. Once we had clear ownership across the five engines and all team members living in their superpower, there was still one more big missing piece. Based on this new clarity, who was best suited to initiate, lead, or execute everything moving forward? Because even with strong owners, brilliant team members, and great ideas, things would still stall out. Not because people weren't working hard, but because clarity is a sneaky bastard and there are always more onion layers to uncover. We realized every initiative, project, or problem inside the company needed to move through a clear flow, not just so work got done, but so it got done right. This is where the five-phase build cycle came in. Phase one, ideate. Anyone who's ideating defines the problem, brainstorms solutions, and clarifies what's actually worth building. This doesn't come from a directive, it comes from nowhere. This is a leadership position. Phase two, architect. This is the one who makes the plan, the structure, specs, strategy, and the details. This is a director or management position. Phase three, execute. This is who does the actual fulfillment work, the doers. Phase four, test. Once the doers are finished, then that work needs to be tested to make sure it's done the way it's intended. Phase five, optimize. If anything in the testing phase is not done perfect, then it must be refined with new optimization plan and passed back to 3E, execution, for the fulfillment team. Sounds simple, but it changed everything. But the biggest breakthrough here didn't come from the phases themselves. It came when we mapped the baton handoffs between the phases, most critical being from ideate to architect. That handoff only works when you have a solid concept brief. Otherwise, it's just ideas floating around without context. The architect phase isn't mind reading, it's planning. If you don't hand them clarity, they can't give you structure. And then from architect to execute, that transition requires a full build plan. Who's doing what, when, how, and by what criteria to know it's done? The worst is if you pass something from the idea phase to execution, then your amazing doers are really lost and they can't properly perform for you. Every action that happens in your business also needs three key roles: visionary, director, and a doer. So we call these own, lead, and support. Okay, so this all ties back together, and we have all of this listed on their role description. This gives clarity for every single team member to know what's expected of them. When you're small, one person might wear all the hats, but if you don't delineate these things out as you grow, you will compound frustration until it buries you. This all gave us the functional clarity. It allows us to stop hiring based on titles and start hiring based on layered fit. So ask yourself, are people underperforming or are your seats or systems misaligned? This distinction could save you from your next mishires or your next resignation so you can better utilize your resources. The truth that they don't tell you in business books, success will not save you from struggle. In fact, it usually gives you more of it. When you're early, you're fighting for validation. When you're growing, you're fighting for sustainability. When you scale, you're fighting for alignment. Every stage has friction. Every stage requires reinvention. What helped you get to one stage won't help you get to the next. Greatness doesn't come from being fearless. It comes from being the kind of person who keeps showing up even when it's messy, uncertain, or inconvenient. I've cried in my office before a team meeting, wiped my face, showed up strong and clear, fired people I loved as humans because they weren't the right fit for the job. I've also seen miracles with my team members and clients because what we do landed, and that made everything worthwhile. But it was only possible because I built systems that could hold it. So I'll leave you with this. Are you willing to stop being the whole engine so you can start being the real CEO? Because the business you dream about, the one that grows without killing you, the one that runs well, you sleep, heal, travel, or rest, it does exist, but only on the other side of clarity, unlocked by systems. You don't need to give it the parts you love. You just need to stop doing everything yourself. My name is Rebecca Simmons.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit connectedleadersacademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.